How you doing? You doing good? You awake? Yeah, you sun-kissed a little bit too, maybe? Who was out in the water yesterday? Who got close to water? Okay, a few of you, okay? My wife already posted on social media, but we were out in the water yesterday. We had our middle child, Mikkel, 9. She was out in the sun for about 8 hours with no sunscreen. So if you see a lobster child walking around, that's our child, and so it's all good. She's fine. But man, what a great summer day it's been, or summer weekend, I should say. We got another great day planned, nice and hot. But I love that you're here. Thanks for prioritizing church this weekend. I know it's a busy weekend that you can kind of maybe view it as a weekend off. So I appreciate that you came and making this a priority. And let's keep it rolling this whole summer, being in church. A lot of great service options for you to be a part of. But this is week 3 of a series called Unpredictable. It's exciting as we talk about the Holy Spirit and all that's going on there. And we're going to have another week. Week 4 is going to be a bonus week from Pastor Rob, but this is a massive, massive topic in terms of the Holy Spirit and all the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us and the implications of the Holy Spirit being in us and all that stuff. And I know for some, you've heard us in service talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being Spirit-filled and Spirit fingers. No, that's basketball. Okay, sorry. We're not talking about that. All these things of the Spirit. And for some, you're like, I'm a little confused. And I'll be honest, like at times, I get a little confused. There's so many different angles and perspectives. There's different commentary, different theological interpretations of the Spirit. So we're coming at it together. And again, it's a big thing we're trying to tackle. But hearts are open, and we love the engagement. Next week, week 4, Pastor Rob's going to talk about those things I just mentioned. The baptisms in the Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit. And he's going to help bring some clarity to how those two things work in our life as Christ followers and believers. So my goal week 3 is to demystify and simplify what it means to be full of the Spirit. I believe that Jesus gives some really clear scripture and instruction in terms of what it means to be full of the Spirit and what that means for us in terms of everyday life and how he wants us to live. And so I'm going to tackle that in just a little bit, bring some clarity. But before I do, I want to pray. Father God, I thank you. This amazing day, God, it's a day that you have made. And God, I pray that every breath, every word, God, that I have, God, will be filled with your Spirit. God, I pray that your Spirit would be made evident today, that God, even as we sit in our seats and hear your word being spoken, I pray may your Spirit impact us deeply. God, I pray that if our ears are dull, if our eyes are blinded, God, that you would open them. God, open them to your word, to your majesty, to your goodness. Lord, I pray that your Spirit, God, maybe for some for the first time, would begin to flow in us and through us like never before. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so it is Labor Day, or I'm sorry, Memorial Day. It's kind of a sleepy day, so I need some feedback. Work with me, okay? A little amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. There it is. Okay. So I want to clarify something real quick as we get rolling in terms of being filled with the Spirit. If you are a Christ follower and at conversion, you said yes to Jesus and you meant it, then you are filled with God's Spirit. So as we talk about all these different terms and big terms, some of you are like, I don't know. Am I filled with the Spirit? Is God in me? I think I'm a Christian. I don't know. Here's the deal. If you said yes to Jesus and you meant it and it was real, the Spirit of God is in you. Romans 8, chapter 11 says this, verse 11 says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So the Spirit of God, it's in you. It's in you, and that happens at conversion. God fills you when you say yes to Jesus, and our job then as Christ followers is to say, God, you know what? Continue to fill me. Continue to fill me. God, I want more of you, more of your Spirit, more of your presence. God, I stir it up. I don't get stagnant. I don't get stale, but God, I want more of you, more of your presence, more of your Spirit. About a month ago, my wife and I and six other amazing people from this campus were on Global Team Middle East, and we were able to work with Live Dead missionaries. And if you have a passion for missions, which I hope you do, make it a bucket list item to work with Live Dead missionaries. Get on a trip with Live Dead missionaries. Their passion for Jesus, passion for prayer, their ideology in terms of how they minister, it is second to none. They were operating at a whole different level than I had never experienced before. It was powerful and amazing. And so we had an opportunity to have dinner with Dick Brogdon, who's a leader of Live Dead, and their leadership team. They have little summits they have twice a year, and we just happened to land in Jordan just on the same night that they're having their summit. with their leadership team. And so we walk into a house in Jordan in the backyard, beautiful backyard, all set up with food. And it's Dick Brogdon and his leadership team. They're all there. And we walk in. He's like, hey, he's like, welcome. We're just about to start our food. You are honored guests. We felt very humbled and honored with him saying that to everybody. And then he begins to pray for the food. So we got chicken and rice, right, some other good little side dishes. And he begins to pray for the chicken and rice, basic, simple little prayer. And I'm ready to weep. I'm like ready to like, I'm ready to lose it, because as he's praying for my chicken and rice, I'm overwhelmed with the presence of God. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, it is so thick as he prays for my food. I'm like, I'm having a moment right now with Jesus. And it just blew me away. And then my wife and I were able to sit down with Dick and a few other people and have our meal together. And he's talking about ministry and he's asking us questions about ministry. And halfway through, Hannah's like, I'm sorry, sick. But she's like, I'm just emotional. It's like, I feel like I want to cry right now. And I don't even know why. It was the presence of God. God's presence was so thick and real in Dick Brogdon's life. And he had told us, he's like, hey, here's the deal. He's like, we had a leadership summit. And it was our first day. We're talking about strategy. He's like, I had to stop us. And he's like, we prayed for several hours. He's like, we didn't even get through our first agenda point because we realized we needed to repent because we're not reaching people like God has called us to. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you're like one of the greatest missionaries I've ever been around, and you're saying you're repenting for not reaching more people. I'm like, this is crazy. But his passion for Jesus and for being in God's presence was second to none, and it was powerful, and we were deeply impacted by the hours we spent with Dick and his team. But we were able to be a part of a miracle. We get in Egypt, our very first stop. And in Egypt, it never rains. We get off the plane. We walk to our taxi. It is dropping sheets of rain on everybody. They're like freaking out. It's raining. It rained twice in 5 days in Egypt. It could rain twice in a full year in Egypt. So we brought the rain, okay? I made it rain and not with money, okay? So the rain came, and it was pretty amazing. And one funny story, we're walking, second day it rained, we're walking on the street, and there's a little overpass right here, and they don't have the sewer system for all the rain, because they don't have rain ever really. And so we're walking, and all of a sudden, a car drives by, again, overpass right here, and this wave of nasty Egyptian dirty water lands on the couple on my team right in front of me, and I start laughing. It was so funny. Her mouth was open, so like water went in her mouth, and it was like, yes, it was you, not me. So I had fun with that. It was so gross. But it never rains there. And so in Egypt and in any time in anywhere in the Middle East, like, rain is really scarce. And so when Jesus starts talking about water and rain and all these things, anytime it's mentioned in the Bible, you can just know that when that's being talked about, it's talking about something that is needed for sustenance. Like, they need rain to survive and to live. And it would rain a couple times a year. And anytime it rained with fresh rain, that was viewed as a miracle. It was an act of God if it rained, and they worshiped and they celebrated whenever it rained, because when it didn't rain, they had cisterns that would catch this rain, and it would become stagnant and old and nasty, and that was their source of water. They would just have these cisterns that they would use and feed their animals and feed their crops, and at times they would have to use it. But anytime God mentions rain, Jesus mentions rain, it was miraculous and powerful, and it was something significant. And Jesus talks about the living water in John chapter 7, and he's referring to the rain of God flowing in a natural way that is miraculous. And this living water that Jesus talks about flowing, he wants it to flow through us. And this is what it says in John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacle, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So right just happened, right now, Jesus prophetically gave a word of what was about to happen in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out on everybody that was there waiting for what Jesus had promised. This is a promise, a prophetic promise of what was about to happen. And Jesus said, here's the deal. He's like, I haven't been glorified yet. I'm still here. I need to die on the cross. I need to raise again. I need to ascend to heaven. When I am glorified, when God is glorified, then the Spirit's going to come. And watch out. Watch out, because rivers, living rivers of water will flow through you, begin to impact people all around you. You haven't seen anything yet because what is about to come is going to flow through you. It's going to be amazing. No one's going to be able to match what I'm about to give you. So the context to this is significant because it's the greatest feast. It's Feast of the Tabernacle. It was about a 7-day celebration, ceremony, prayer time, party time. But here's the deal. The priests would come and they would take a bowl of water. They would take a bowl of water. They would walk through this big procession. All of the people are there celebrating. They're praying. They're thanking God. Again, miracle. Think about miracle. They're thanking God for the miracle of water. They're thanking God for the times that it did rain this past year. In the same breath, they're saying, God, please let it rain this year. God, may your refreshing waters, your living waters come, God, and give us sustenance, give us life, give us water to drink and water for our crops, God. May it come. So the priests would walk through, and then they would pour this bowl of water on the altar, and they would all celebrate. They would say, yes, thank you, God. They would really celebrate. They would get super excited. It was a joyous moment, celebratory moment filled with prayer, but they were thanking God for his living water. So they're all about the physical aspect of water. Jesus is watching this go down. Again, greatest feast of Jewish culture. Jesus is watching this go down, day 8. Day 8, Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to tell you about something a little different. You're thanking God for physical water that you need to sustain your life. I'm going to tell you about spiritual water that you need desperately, that every believer, every Christ follower will have put in them, and then it'll flow out of them. So Jesus stands up. He's a rabbi. Rabbis don't stand, they sit. Jesus, not your average rabbi, stands up, right? He stands up. And then rabbis usually just talk very methodically. Jesus then begins to scream and shout. He's crying out. He's like, if anyone thirsts, come drink of me. And when you drink of me, rivers will begin to flow in you and out of you. And it will be miraculous. So he's saying this as a promise, something prophetic that's about to happen. And he's standing, shouting, screaming. And they're like, what is going on? In all due respect, Jesus just made a fool out of himself. Because what he just did, it's not what a rabbi does. It's not how he communicates or speaks. They weren't accustomed, like, they're thinking this is our moment to celebrate God's miraculous provision of rain. And he's talking about some, like, we're just gonna get filled with rivers of living water. Like, what? Like, Jesus, again, I mean this respectfully, but I think he was standing up and standing out to make a point, and he looked foolish. And his point was, I'm letting you know, just like other prophets would, they would stand up and no one understood. But in this moment, Jesus was making it very clear. I'm letting you know that as a Christ follower, you are to be filled with living waters. And these living waters don't stop with you. They should flow through you on a consistent basis. This is a mark of every Christ follower. This is a mark of every believer. And this is what Jesus was trying to get across. And this was foreshadowing of what Peter did when Peter stood up and began to proclaim what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the feast of the Pentecost came, different feast here, they were all gathered together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They were in awe, because what happened is that these people were speaking with the gift of tongues. And people were like, what are they speaking? Then they would hear one by one, that's my language. They're praising God in my language. And then another one, like, that's my language. They're speaking of what God has done. Like, oh my goodness, like, this is crazy. These aren't people that speak my language. They said this. They were thunderstruck. They couldn't, for the life of them, figure out what was going on and kept saying, aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in various mother tongues? They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked. They're drunk on cheap wine. So these people are confused. They don't understand what's happening. But what's happening is what Jesus prophesied about in John chapter 7. There is rivers of living water that are being poured out for the first time into every believer that was there waiting. And subsequently, we see that other believers get in on what just happened with these group of believers. It's powerful. It's powerful. It was the manifest presence of God, His Spirit, like Jesus promised, for the first time ever. And every believer that was there received it. It was for everyone. It wasn't optional. It wasn't something take it or leave it. It was the way that God intended every believer to live. Something's supposed to happen to us when we say yes to Jesus at conversion. The Spirit of God fills us. And the Spirit of God fills us so that there's a river of life that begins to flow through us to other people. It doesn't stop with us. It's not a cistern. It's a river that flows. But what happens is that sometimes we say yes to Jesus, and then we feel this moment of salvation. Something changes. Like we feel like God is alive and we feel the living waters of life flow in us. But we only get filled once. And then that river runs dry. And then we go back to living life as normal. Then we go back to living dry. We're like, I feel like I'm a Christian in terms of like I said yes to Jesus. But the output, the outflow, there's nothing there. Like I read scripture and my life doesn't match up to scripture and I feel this conflict of who I want to be and who I should be and who Jesus says I am and what is actually happening, the outflow of my life. Yesterday, I took my kids to the Stone Arch Bridge. My wife came along too. It made it sound like it was just us. Hannah was there. We took them to the Stone Arch Bridge and we were hanging out there. And Bo and Stella had never seen it before. So we walk over to where the mighty Mississippi was raging the most. And we got in a spot where you could hear it. You could almost feel it. You could smell it. If the wind blew the right way, you could kind of catch some of the mist. And we're there. I'm like, hey, that's powerful. That is a raging river. Look at that river, Bo. I said, that river, it could take you out. Like that current is strong. It's flowing one direction. And if you get in that direction, it's going to take you away. And so I'm just trying to describe to him and Stella, like the enormity and the mightiness of that river and how great it is raging and it's powerful. And that's what Jesus said should be coming out of us. There should be a raging, powerful, mighty river that is flowing through us that when people come and they see it, they can sense it, they can see it, they can tell there's something going on there about that person. And it doesn't have to be wild or mystical, but it's like there's something dynamic coming out of that person. And I don't know what it is, but it's mighty. And it's flowing through them. And it's something that I take notice of. Does that describe your life? Is that how you're living? Is that how your faith flows through you? That you get around people and they're just like, what's up with that guy? There's just, man, there's something good and genuine. And there's a goodness about that person. Do people get around you, ladies, and they're like, there's just a sweetness. There's an unconditional love about this lady that I need to be around her more. I need to get close to it because there's something unique and dynamic. Unfortunately, for most of us, we can look around and we can see people that are dying, spiritually dying and going to hell, and we see qualities and attributes that we admire because they have more kindness, more goodness, more gentleness, more fruits of the Spirit than we do. We're like, look at that. Like, man, the patience they have with their kids. That's awesome. The love they have for the world and for other people. Like, I'm just, that's inspiring. These are people that are lost and going out. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They're made in God's image, so there's something uniquely good about them. But they're not filled. They haven't yet to say yes to Jesus. So they're not filled with the living water of Jesus, like he said would come, the Spirit. They're not filled. It's just this goodness that comes out of them. And again, we're just like, oh, wow. Gosh, I have some work to do. I'm falling short. I'm missing the mark. And that's never how God intended us to live. God wants us to be filled up to overflowing. So how does this work? How does this work? And I believe that Paul gives us some really, really great, simple advice. He equates it to something that we all know about, at least most of us know about. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, don't read into this. They just talked about people being drunk on cheap wine. Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. Now we're talking about more drunkenness. I'm not promoting drinking this morning, okay? Actually, I've never been drunk. Okay, I've never been drunk, so I'm not the expert. I had to seek some counsel and wisdom on this topic. So I talked to Pastor Jesse. Talked to Pastor Jesse quite extensively. Long talk. Talked to Pastor Jesse, and what we talked about was that when you consume alcohol, you make a choice not to have one drink, not to have two drinks, but several drinks if you're going to attempt to get drunk, right? And it's not a state of being drunk. Eventually it wears off, and then you have to make another choice the next weekend or the next day. Hey, I think I'm going to have some more drinks. We're gonna keep this rolling. We're having fun, right? And we know the back end of what that means. But you make a choice to continue to consume alcohol to become drunk. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's like, it's not about drinking per se. He's equating the spirit life to a state of drunkenness. You make a choice, constant choice, to be filled up with the Spirit. It's not a one and done. Again, conversion moment. You say yes to Jesus. The Spirit fills you, and then it runs out. And then what do? You say, Jesus, more of your presence. Holy Spirit, fill me again. Fill me again. Fill me again. Fill me again. You got to ask for it. It's not a one-time deal. You may walk into situations where you don't feel much and it's lifeless, and maybe you feel like you're lacking something. Well, ask the Spirit. Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need more of you. I'm going to this meeting. I got a tough situation. I got a family meeting. I got something's going on in my life. Jesus, I need more of you. So what does it look like to have raging rivers of life flowing through us? The Corinthians and Ephesians, and there's some other passages that list out some attributes of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We don't have time. I literally don't have time to unpack those things. I was in a conundrum of like, do I talk about these things? It's just they're too extensive. That's for another series. But just know that I am actively pursuing, asking God, I want the gifts of the Spirit alive in my life. I want the fruits of the Spirit alive in my life, God. There's this situation as I meet with this person or this mission trip or this message, God. I want a word of wisdom, God. I want a prophetic voice, God. I want to pray for healing for this person, God. I'm walking into this situation. I am literally asking God. I need these things. I wasn't taught this in Bible school. This isn't like what pastors do. That all of a sudden I got my license and all of a sudden I'm like, magically I have these gifts of the Spirit. No, it's been a journey of pursuing, leaning in, saying, God, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me for the work that you've called me to do outside of this pulpit, right? And so I speak in tongues every day. And that may sound crazy to some of you, but that is, I want to be connected to the Spirit of God. And that is the way that I get connected in a very personal, intimate way of praying in the Spirit on a consistent basis. And so I want you to know that we are filled by leaning in and asking God for more of his presence. And when God fills us, it's not a trickle or a drip. It's a raging river. It's a raging river. Some of you are just dripping. And we know the leaky faucet. That's annoying. Some of you are annoying me right now. You're just a leaky faucet. Turn it on or turn it off. Figure it out, right? I'm like waiting for a cup of water, and it's like taking me hours to get something out of you, right? You're just dripping. You're annoying me. But God wants us to be this raging river where he's just filling us up and flowing, and we're flowing. We're refreshing others, and it's a good byproduct that comes out of us. So two quick takeaways. And there's, again, I am barely scratching the surface, and so forgive me for that. But two great takeaways of a life that is overflowing with the Spirit is this. The Spirit allows you to do what Jesus has called you to do. The Spirit allows you to do what Jesus has called you to do. Specifically, there is a calling and anointing upon your life that only you can fulfill. The Spirit, when it fills you and flows through you, allows you to accomplish the God-given purpose and intention with which he's created you with. Anything short of not allowing the Spirit to flow through you, you're operating on something other than the Spirit. It is your own strength. You're not going to fulfill the mission God's called you to. Pastor Rob, to give you some context, Pastor Rob has the gift of faith. He leads out with the gift of faith. He's very much like an apostolic. Apostolic means like you have vision to take ground, build kingdoms. Apostolic is very much like it's a building and growing gifting. He has that upon him. And so when he speaks and communicates, you sense this great faith and this like, let's go change the world. Let's build. Let's send missionaries. Let's start churches. You sense this apostolic gifting being communicated as he shares, right? And so that's the Spirit of God flowing through him. And just so you understand, When you surrender your natural giftings to a supernatural God, he charges it, and then all of a sudden, like, what who you are becomes supercharged. Then, like, out of your very own, like, personality and natural abilities, like, you're just like, oh my goodness, like, I have the gift of talk. And all of a sudden, my words, like, they're prophetic. Like, I'm speaking, the gift of discernment and encouragement is beginning to come out, and I'm giving people perspective, and all of a sudden, like, I'm encouraging them with my lips. And for others, like, we got a lot of business owners and creative people in the room, entrepreneurs, like, God, I'm wired to think this way. And all of a sudden, when you surrender that wiring to God, all of a sudden, he gives you supernatural ideas and perspective that it's not your thoughts, it's his thoughts, and it's about building the kingdom and resourcing people. And it's like, it all grows, but you have to surrender your natural ability and say, Father God, here's the natural, fill it. And when he fills it, he supercharges it, and all of a sudden, you see things come to life, and then the waters begin to flow through you and in you, and it's powerful. Second thing, the overflow of the Spirit empowers you to be Jesus to the world. The overflow of the Spirit empowers you to be Jesus to the world. Again, Acts chapter 2, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they were being empowered to be sent out. And it says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We need the empowerment that allows us to move out of our space into the world to make a difference. Some of you can't even speak the name of Jesus at your own workplace, and you run the joint. It's your business. You started it. But you can't even talk about Jesus because you're afraid of the implications of what that might mean. You set the policy and the culture, right? So when the Spirit comes in you, it gives you the ability to move into space. Maybe your Judea is Prior Lake or whatever it is, the beach, whatever little store you hang out in, whatever coffee shop you're in, allows you to move into that space. And then Jesus just comes out. And it's not weird or hokey. It's just Jesus. Again, Live Dead Trip. Jordan, just met with Dick Brogdon, emotional. Katie Cohen, she's 21 years old. Sweet little thing we sent out end of the year, in November. We sent her out from this campus to do a one-year internship with Live Dead in Jordan. So we're meeting with Katie, and she's, again, when I say sweet little thing, there's an innocence and a purity about Katie. There's a bit of a childlike faith where we're talking with her, and I just, like, she's like, so, like, the challenge with language, and it's really hard, and culture's really hard, and seems like she's about to break down. And as a father, I just want to kind of, like, hold her and pray for her. And she's sharing that, and she's like, yeah, but I'm praying about going to Baghdad to start a church. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? So, like, I'm like, I hear the emotion, and I hear, like, the state you're in, but in the next breath, you're saying you're going to Baghdad to start a church? That's the power of the Spirit. It goes beyond what you feel. It goes beyond your circumstance. It begins to flow out of you to take you to a place where the ISIS tire tracks are still fresh on the ground, right? Like, why would she go there? But yet that's where God is leading her. That is her Judea, and God is sending her out. But that's the power of the Spirit. And again, some of you are sitting here and you're like, I want that. I don't have that. And you realize that you said yes to Jesus years ago or months ago, decades ago, but that river's run dry. And there's nothing more sad than seeing a dry river where people used to bathe there, used to get resource there. And now that's it's dead. There's nothing there, a dry river. It's useless. It's pointless. It's no good. That's not for us, church. God did not call us to be dry rivers. He called us to be rivers of life that are flowing, that refresh and replenish other people all around us. And as Jesus talked about, it's for every believer. Every. So I'm not here to tell you about the benefits. I'm not here to tell you about the options of the Spirit. I'm here to tell you that you absolutely need the filling of the Spirit. And whatever comes with it, you receive it. My prayer has always been, God, I want all that you have for me. God, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I want to be effective. I want to be a raging river for Jesus that flows out, that replenishes people, that makes a difference wherever I go. And that's what I want for my life, and I want it for yours too. So I want you to stand up, and we're going to stand up. I'm going to pray for you. As you stand, I want you to lift up your hands. And I know I'm speaking right to hearts. I know I'm speaking to dry rivers. I know I got some drips in the room. You're just dripping out. And you're about on empty. So again, as we talk about the Spirit, the whole point of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit is that God would fill you up. God would fill you up to overflowing so that streams of life can flow through you and you can be useful for the kingdom. You can accomplish your purpose for the kingdom. So Father God, I pray that you help us, God, get out of the way. God, help us to get out of the way so that we can receive what you have for us today. God, I pray that streams of living water would fill us up. God, fill us up to overflowing, that God, your presence would fall out. God, just like the mighty Mississippi, Father God, I pray, may we have raging rivers of life, God. God, that cascade upon those around us, that cascade into our family in Jesus' name. God, I pray no more dripping, no more trickling, no more dry rivers, but God, I pray, may we say yes to you in Jesus' name. Father God, fill us. Right now, begin to ask. Ask for the things of the Spirit. Ask for more. Ask God to fill you. Ask him to fill you. If God has put a spiritual gift on your mind and your heart, ask for that gift. Ask for it. It starts with asking. We ask God, fill us again. God, fill us again. God, fill us again. We ask for the things of the Spirit. God, fill us up. Jesus, this is how you've intended us to live, and we ask for it. We're not shy about it. We don't water it down, but Jesus, we ask for more of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen.